So, good evening, everybody. How are we all doing? First of all, I just want to say, those of you that came to laser tag on Friday night, my team won. So, you know, you.
Oh, yeah, I won all of it. I won.
Some might say there was some cheating involved. But what my team would like to say, we just had great strategy. We barricaded ourselves.
We grabbed the whole dinner beside us.
We got it. So. So what we love to talk about love and Jesus, but when we get in there, man, it's shoot to kill. There's not a lot of love going on there. So we talk about the two things that we're going to keep harping on for the next little while. That is, what do I believe and who am I? And there is so many things that the world is trying to confuse us with when it comes to those two things. And when you sit here, of course, you come to church and you think, well, what if church isn't right? What if what they're telling me isn't true? And that's where, for you, you have to do your investigating. You don't just take our word for it either. I've shared this before with you. At the first week of school, I teach my kids all week about the ticky-ticky dodo. And they're like, the ticky-ticky dodo? And all week I teach them about the ticky-ticky dodo, and then on Friday I give them a test, and they answer all the questions, and I give them all a zero. And they're going, why? I said, because there's no such thing. I made the whole thing up, and not one of you took the time to find out if what I said was true. Just because I'm a teacher doesn't mean what I say is true. And especially as you get older in high school and into college and university, there are going to be teachers who are teaching you things because they believe it, but that doesn't mean it's true. It might be true for them, but the question is it true for everyone? And is it true according to God's word, the Bible? Because that's the standard that we live by. And if you don't read the Bible and you don't understand the Bible, you're going to have a hard time understanding that what I believe concept, as well as the who I believe and who I am. So we want to make sure none of that gets us confused. Now, chapel coming up when you signed up, it's not in Vancouver after all. I've updated the website. It's actually right at that church that's on King George, where there used to be a car dealership and they bought it out. It's next to Brown Social House and all the big towers they're building at the SkyTrain station. So that's where it's going to be, and you just get dropped off there 6:45, not this Friday. There will not be anybody there. You might walk in and go, where is everybody? Yeah, we're not there. Okay. So it's on the calendar. Make sure that you come and join us. So we're looking at experiencing God. And how many were around, because this is really dating some of you, how many were around when I was leading Jolt way back?
Yes.
One, two, few.
I was in grade 2. Was I?
Probably. So you might remember the epic videos I used to show on Sunday mornings at Mini Jolt, where it would be a story about like this underground thing, and it was like cheesy acting, right?
Yes.
And cheesy story, but it always tied into what I was trying to teach that morning, because it's part of it. Well, experiencing God has a very similar thing. They have a set of videos. Now, if you were to go to grown-up experiencing God, all you get is a guy standing up there speaking, and he tells you all this stuff. So for the youth version, they decided to dramatize it and put it together into basically a 9-part video series, where at the end of it, you finally find out, and I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but you got to get past the cheesiness of it at the beginning. And what I want you to do as you're watching it is pick a character that's most like you and follow that character for the next 9 weeks. Okay? If you can't find a character that's like you, follow the youth pastor guy. Okay? And just say, okay, I'll just pretend I'm like the smart guy when it comes to Jesus. Okay? And put yourself in those shoes. So, little cheesy, I'm giving you the pre-warning, but we're not going to mock it. We're actually going to watch it, and we're going to go, that's what God's trying to teach us here. Okay? So, none of it will probably make sense tonight because it's 9 parts. So you gotta wait for the characters to develop. You gotta wait for the story to develop. Deb, maybe we can get those backlights off right behind you there. No, they're right behind you. There you are. Yeah, there. And I didn't check the volume, so give me a second. I'm gonna test the volume.
Yeah.
Unity? I asked.
You thought they were me.
Okay, we got volume. Children, behave yourselves, okay?
Yes.
Anyways. I'm Mike, and my wife Heidi and I are expecting our first child.
Aww.
Jonathan, you go next.
Whatever.
Man, that's fascinating. Rachel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel, and this is my third mission trip.
Hi, you guys. Good. Who's next?
Hey, guys. I'm Eddie Wamsley. Everybody calls me Wam. And I got 20 gigs of the best music you can find on my hard drive. What?
Do you pay for all that music?
What?
Because it's stealing if you didn't buy it.
That's great. You can add that to your list of something interesting.
Whatever, thief. My name's Andy, and I have a tattoo.
Tattoo, huh?
Right.
Hey, Rach, didn't the rule say no cell phones?
It says no cell phones on site, and we're now site. We're just getting going. The mission two already.
Yeah, I thought they broke up.
I did too.
That's so sweet. This is gonna be the longest week ever.
so typical.
Last thing I saw, he cracked his head on the steering wheel.
Oh, no, poor Mike.
Look, he's not dead. He's probably somewhere out here looking for us right now. We can find him.
It's so
easy. Wamsley, how do we get back to the car?
What?
Which way to the car?
Why do you guys keep asking me that, man?
Well, didn't you carry us here from the car?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you brought us here from the car, then where is it? Huh?
He doesn't know, Jonathan.
How does he not? How do you not know?
Look, it can't be that far from here. If it wasn't for this fog, we could probably see it.
Yeah, maybe if we...
No!
Don't do that again.
Yeah.
Where's your cell phone?
Oh. Must be in the car.
Right. That would be too easy.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. We can get out of here.
Yeah, just as soon as we can find a signal.
Who has a signal?
Not down here. We gotta at least get out of this valley. Find a lovely signal or something.
Okay. So, let's look for higher ground.
No, we should find Mike.
And how do you propose we do that?
Well, we can't just leave him out here.
Okay, suppose we do find him and he is hurt. Then what? Huh? Andy, we still have to find a cell phone signal. This way we get out of here sooner, or Mike gets help sooner.
Yeah, and what if we get locked out here? You got a map or something?
Dude, I don't need a map to find a cell phone signal.
We definitely can't stay where we are.
Exactly! So let's start heading this way. And stay close, because you do not want to get lost in this fog.
Yeah, you better not get lost, because you know Jonathan's not coming looking for you.
All right. You got my attention. You trying to say something?
So last week, you were supposed to have read the first five. Now, remember, as I said, just because you don't have a book doesn't mean you're not going to learn anything. However, there was a lot of good stuff in the first five that we're going to review today. And it starts with day one, where it's talked about Jesus being the way. And most people, like, if I was your age, I'd be like, is God real? Because I'd want to know that when I talk to him, when I pray to him, when I ask him things, or when I'm sitting in church and people are telling me things, I want to know he's real. Because if he's not, what's my point doing all this? Okay? Now, somebody asked me the other day, I was talking to a college student, and she said, you know, well, why bother? And I said, well, if I come to the end of my life and Jesus wasn't real, what have I lost? I've lived a pretty good life. I don't get drunk, I don't have sex with people, I haven't made babies that I'm not, you know, don't take care of. I have got great relationships because I've learned how to trust and how to love and how to encourage. So I die, and there's no God. I'll be dead. Not like I'm going to know. But what if I get to that point in my life where I do die, and it was real, and I didn't take any sacrifices along the way to just say, you know what, maybe this is real. Well, then I spend eternity in hell, and the description of hell is not very pretty. So the first thing you all have to decide is Jesus the way? Is what he says true about himself? Do you know him? So the rest of these 9 weeks are not going to make any sense at all if you've never actually taken the time to say, Jesus, come into my life. Now, if you recall, the last time I gave that invitation, it was at the Christmas party. And it was 3 or 4 weeks later when I was asking one of the youth, hey, you know, have you ever given your life to Jesus? And they said, yeah. I said, oh, when? And they said, well, at the Christmas party. I said, well, why didn't you tell me? Well, you never asked. Well, you know, it'd be kind of nice to know if you accept Jesus, that you've accepted Jesus. Because when we teach you stuff each week, you're going to find some of it doesn't make any sense. Because the Bible is pretty clear that only those who give their life to Jesus will understand the truths of the Bible. Up to then, it might be good teaching. Up to then, it might be interesting stuff. But you're never going to experience it and understand it truly until you open your life to Jesus. Now, here's why. When you give your life to Jesus, something changes in you. Does anybody know what you receive when you receive Jesus? Thank you, Renzel. A little louder. Or was that not you? Was that you or was that him? That was Renzel. What do you get? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and into your life and begins to unpack and show you everything that's true about what God says in his word and in relationship with Jesus. But until that time, you don't have the Holy Spirit. So when we say, oh, love your enemies, you'd be like, well, that's stupid. Why is that stupid? Well, because from the world's point of view, why would you love people that hate you? But when you have the Holy Spirit and Jesus in your life, you begin to understand why God says love your enemies. And you start to understand there's a purpose behind it. And that it's not just so that we can, you know, go get beat up by our enemies, but it's so that we can share the love of Christ and see those enemies come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. So everything that we are trying to learn now, I learned a great term yesterday. It was called Christian atheists. And that's what some of us are. We come to church or to youth group and we hear what God says and we kind of have said, yeah, I've accepted Jesus at some point, or maybe it was in Sunday school. But we're an atheist all the rest of the week because we don't believe it. Here's how I know, because the Bible says, take up your cross, and most of you don't do that. The Bible says, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, but yet many of you lie, cheat, and steal. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, but some of you say Jesus Christ or God damn it or all those things on a regular basis. Wait a minute. If it was real to you, your behavior would change. And so Jesus says about himself, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the only way. There are no other ways. So we either have to accept that truth and say it's true, or we have to say, I don't believe it. But here's the deal. If you don't believe it, you got to figure out what you do believe. Because you cannot go through life without believing in something. It's impossible. Now, that doesn't mean you have to believe in Buddha or you have to believe in some other God. It could just, I believe in materialism. I believe in getting as much stuff as I can. Or I believe in sex and I'm going to have as much joy and enjoyment with sex as I can. Or I believe drugs is the way to go. Or I believe having a good job is the way to go. You're going to believe in something. Because nobody goes through life going, I don't really believe in anything. It's actually impossible. Because even people that say that actually believe in something. They believe in nothing. Right? Which is a belief. I believe in nothing. Okay? At least you believe in something. No, I don't believe in something. I believe in nothing. Well, you have to believe in something to believe in nothing. See, their logic doesn't make sense to them because they're not really thinking straight. Okay? You can only know the way if you know Jesus. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from God. So when somebody says to you, you need to hold sex till marriage, if you don't know Jesus and the Holy Spirit is not part of you, that is not something you're going to live by. Because the guy who you like says, hey, let's go have sex. And you're going to go, sure. Even though the Bible says it isn't appropriate, if you don't know Christ and you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're going to make decisions that disregard Jesus, disregard God's word. And that's where some of you have to look yourself in the mirror tonight, because that was lesson number one, day one. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Because if your behavior and your attitudes don't show that, the question is that really true of your life? And don't play the game, because the game has eternal consequences. You can play Jesus, but the day you die and you stand before Jesus himself, you're going to have an account for whether or not you actually followed him. And if you go, yes, Jesus, I did. Really? Because I'm Jesus, and I didn't really ever see you follow me. I don't think I know you. Go over there. And you're going to go, oh, no. It's too late now. Too late now. And there are plenty of examples of that in the Bible. So tonight, you have to decide, is Jesus your way? And when you get in your small group, that's one of the questions your small group leader is going to ask you. And you got to be honest. And it's okay to say no. But if you're going to say no, know that you're saying no. And that some of the things we're going to try and teach you in the next 9 weeks aren't going to make a lot of sense because you don't actually have the Holy Spirit and Jesus in your life. It's still good stuff. It's still going to help you in life, but it's not going to make complete sense. Then we move to day two, which was Jesus is your model. And it says the Bible is your guide. The Bible covers every possible situation you can find yourself in. Everything. Everything is in the Bible. And you can say, well, I don't know. What about this? It'll be in there. Now, it might not be the specific, like you might not find marijuana specifically in the scriptures, because back then marijuana wasn't an issue. But there will be other substances similar to marijuana that the Bible addresses. It's just in that time it was certain things. In our time it's different things. But the truths of the Bible will speak into every situation. And I firmly believe that. If you want to test me on it, just come up and give me a topic and I'll show you where in Scripture it can be found. Because everything is in there. The principles are true. So the Bible is your guide. And here's the thing. Oh, I skipped one, didn't I? That one. What does God say? And then just do it. The problem is when God says something to us, we don't want to do it. It's like God says, thou shalt not. And we're like, yes, but I want to. God says, save sex till marriage. But I want to have sex. My boyfriend's so special. I love him. God says, wait. Oh, okay. God, I think I'm okay with everything, but that one, I'm just going to go and do that one. Or God says, hey, have you shared Jesus with your friend? And you go, not that friend, not that kid. I don't like that kid. Jesus, well, it doesn't matter what you like. Are you willing to listen to me and do what I said? And I'm old school. Jesus says it, or it's in the Bible, I just try to do it. I'm not perfect at it, but I just try to do it. So whatever it says, I just try to do it. And people say, well, yeah, but I'm not sure God meant it. Yeah, God meant it. We can beat around the bush, but in the end, just live by what this book says. It's going to do great things for you. Jesus is always our example. You know, we used to have What Would Jesus Do bracelets. Anybody ever have one? Mm-hmm. Nice to agree to it. Yes, own up to it. A What Would Jesus Do bracelet. WWJD. I think I showed you that humorous one. What's Jesus' brother's name?
Yeah.
James, yeah. What would James do? Yeah. Not what Jesus would do, right? And that statement still holds true today. Even though we don't wear the corny bracelets and we don't walk around, hey, what would Jesus do? Really? That's the question we should be asking ourselves every day. When we get up in the morning, what would Jesus do today? And if we want to experience God, we've got to put that into practice every day of our life. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? So then we went into day three. I need to be a servant of God. You need to be moldable like clay. It means giving up your life. It means being willing to whatever God wants for you. You need to stay in the master's hand. That means you don't just walk away from Jesus when it's hard. The harder it gets, the more you grab on, because he'll help you through it. But it's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy. Nobody ever said the Christian life is easy. And if they did, shoot them. Then they'll know it's not easy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. It's not as easy as you thought, is it? Yeah. And then the last one we looked at was God will work through you. And I really believe this. I wonder if many of you do. Because if you really took hold of this truth that God will use you to do things, it's not me and my talents. It's God using me to help others. Do you know counselors will admit, a good counselor will admit, a friend is probably a better counselor than a paid counselor? Because friends come alongside and they listen, and we tend to listen to our friends more than we're paying $90 an hour to go to a counselor. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go counseling if we need it. I'm just saying, counselors will even admit. And a Jesus follower who comes alongside and loves people in Jesus' name can change lives radically. And you have that opportunity every day to go into your schools and look at somebody and say, I could change that person's life if I just listen to what God wants me to do. If I just go over and maybe talk to them, or if I just invite them out, I could change their life literally. But that takes courage, boldness, and it takes the trust that God's going to help you through that. If the person laughs at you, yeah, he laughs at me. If he beats me up, he beats me up. That's okay. Like you said, that's not okay to get beat up. Okay, I'm not saying it's okay to get beat up, but what I'm saying is the risk of getting beat up to follow what God wants you to do is worth the risk. So this first week was just all about introducing you to Jesus and his way and God's way. And most of us already know that. These are the seven realities. You're going to look at those tonight. On the back of your memory card tonight, the seven realities are pictured there for you so that you can memorize them and learn them. These are the things we're going to be looking at in the next 9 weeks. Okay? And our memory verse this week is John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Okay? And so that's our memory verse. You're going to memorize a verse every week. That's our goal. Okay? And this is what the picture looks like. And it's going to be on the back of every card to remind you of how we experience God. Because I'm telling you right now, if you really want to live the Jesus life, it's a lot of fun. But you got to do it God's way. And that's the part we struggle with. Giving up our control, giving up our life, and saying, okay, God, I'm following you. So, I'll give you one little short story. So, I'm not sometimes very good at doing what God says. Because I was in a room, and there was a bunch of people in the room, and God said, you see that person over there? Go over and talk to them. I was like, I don't even know them. Go over and talk. I don't know. Not going to do it. Sorry, God. I don't care if you... And we've all had that little small voice that tells us to do something and we just try to ignore it. Not going to do it. And I didn't. Didn't go over and talk to him. That was God's moment. For me and for that person, I chose to ignore it. I have no idea what God would have done there, but I ignored it. I got out of my car the other day. 8:25 in the morning. I was almost late for work. Had a breakfast meeting, and this lady, oh, Steve, come here. Okay, so I go over to her, and she goes, I can't believe I got you in the parking lot. I never see you. I'm thinking, who is this lady? Turns out she works at the school. There's a lot of people at the school. I'm sorry, I didn't know she worked there. And she's humped over, and she just says, I need you to pray for it. Healing on my back. My back just went out when I got out of the car, and I'm like, I'm looking around. I don't know what I was looking around for. Was I terrified that people were looking at me, or that somebody was going to see me pray for this lady, or when I put my hand on her back, people are like, what the heck's Mr. Swaddling doing, right? And I had Kiara in the car. She's 12. She was running into the building. She stopped. She looked back and said, oh, my God. She came running back. And she says, what are you doing? I said, she asked me to pray for her. And 12-year-old says, well, why aren't you praying for her? Shut up. Because once again, God is placing a moment in front of me. And I can either pray for this woman for healing, or I can chicken out and go, sorry, and give just like a little, oh, pray that you're okay. So I put my hand on her back, on her shoulder, and I prayed. I said, God, if you want this back healed, you got to heal it. She's got to go to work in 2 minutes. What are you going to do? Heal this back. It was a terrible prayer, but it was all I could think to say. And I finished, and she's like, okay, would you take my bag? I'm like, okay. And she grabs my arm, and as we're walking towards the school from the parking lot, she just slowly is doing this. So we get close to the door, and then she goes, okay, I'm fine, and walks in the building. And I'm like, you just heal her back? Did I just pray for that? And I'm thinking, I could have missed that if I didn't listen to God and do what God asked me to do. But how many times have I missed it? And you're just starting out in your Christian walk, and if you start to learn that kind of faith and start to experience that kind of Jesus, my goodness, what you're going to be able to do as you get older and you understand God more, it's going to be amazing. But it starts now, saying, I trust, I believe, and God, I want you to show me in my life. So when you go to small group today, you're going to get a package. Miguel, hold up the package. You're not going to take that home with you. That's going to stay here. It's the questions and stuff you're going to be discussing. If you've been reading through the book, then you've been doing a lot of those questions as you've been going. You're going to summarize week one with your group leaders. You're going to talk about what you've learned, and then you're going to start looking forward to what's coming in week two. If you don't have a book, we still have about 6 left. It's going to make this journey a whole lot deeper and better for you. And money is not an object, so take a book if you need a book, and we will find a way to get the payment covered. But if you don't have a book, We've only got a few left, so make sure you take one. You're going to enjoy this experience a whole lot more if you have a book. How many of you did all the readings this week? Not one of you. Oh, one, thank you. Oh, I see another hand, that's two. Daniel, three. So three people did the readings this week. This is good stuff. Didn't take long, did it? Jessica? No, it's not long. 5 or 10 minutes a day. Yeah. Okay, so reading. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this group sitting in front of me. Love them to pieces. I was thinking about that driving here. I was like, oh, I just want to go home and go to bed. And then I thought, no, I can't miss this. These are some of the most amazing people I've met in the last few years. And these people are here because they want to learn about you. And maybe they don't have it all together yet. Maybe they're struggling with all sorts of things. But God, tonight is all about you, Jesus. And if they haven't given their life to you tonight, God, that they just say a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life. And the best I know how, I'm going to learn about you and grow and try to live my life for you. I give up everything and I let you take control. And God, that's a simple prayer, but it's a hard prayer to pray because it means giving up our lives to you, the one who created us. So God, as we go to our small groups, help us to dig deep. Help us not to play Christian atheist. Help us to play true Christian, wanting to grow and be discipled tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, off you go to your small groups. Is Christine here? Oh, good. I was going to say the grade 12 girls, but you're here. Okay.